Okay, praise the Lord. We got some testimonies. Cheryl's going to read these to you and see some of the... It's amazing. It's becoming more and more amazing how God's answering prayer over the internet. It's just amazing. Go ahead, honey.
Okay, this came in last night at 10:33 p.m. I've repented and need your prayers. I'm passing kidney stone and have blood in my urine. I'm standing on Matthew 18:19 and 2 Corinthians 1:20. Thank you, brother. He wrote back this morning at 10:52. Thank you, brother. During the night, Jesus healed my pain and my strength is returning today. May God continue to bless you and your ministry. Ray. Yep.
Is that awesome or is that awesome?
Yeah, that's awesome.
Okay, we'd read this one before about a girl that was going out with all these different men, 24 years old. And so we prayed, kick the demons out, and asked the Lord to convict her of sin. And so then he wrote and said, thank you very much, thank you very much for your prayers. My sister got up yesterday and said she doesn't know why, but she didn't want to see the married man she's supposed to meet with, and she was even making an effort to behave better. She still believes God won't punish her for anything for sinning, although she admitted she dreamed the demons were going to claim her if she didn't change her ways. She still doesn't think it will happen, but I'm thankful to God that there's some change showing in her, and we're agreeing with you that it will continue. It's done. Okay, so then he wrote back and he said, thank you very much for all your prayers. I just wanted to let you know that my sister has been making a lot of changes. She now wants to follow God wholeheartedly and is trying her best to start giving up the men she knows. It's a drastic turnaround from a week ago when we asked for your prayers because she didn't care at all and just wanted to do her own thing. The only thing now is that the men she knows are all starting to come after her even more, along with new ones, and she's beside herself with trying to get rid of them, especially one married one who does not want to let her go and whom she's really scared of. Would you ask it? We would like you to please agree with me and my parents that God would remove all these wrong men completely from my sister's life, and they would not bother her anymore, and she would live a life pleasing to God. So, of course, we prayed that last night, but already there's changes in her life.
Praise the Lord.
Why? Because we kicked the devils out. All right. Okay, and this one, this lady wrote, she'd listened to the Power of Repentance and on the YouTube, and she was had lots of problems. I mean, lots of problems. And she had she needed healing for her entire digestive, reproductive system, kidney, livers, lungs, nerves, veins, all sickness in my entire body. Wow. And she also wanted prayer for a complete healing of all her family, relatives, friends, and all people that are sick. So I guess y'all are all included. Anyway, she wanted to be used for God's glory and be a living testimony. All those things are great. Okay. So we prayed for her. And then she wrote back and she said, because we always say we've prayed and it's done. She said, I would like to testify that I am healed of the bloating in my stomach, the acid reflux, and the gastritis completely after I sent in my prayer request. I'm feeling better in Jesus' name and by God's grace, and I thank God for using you and his servants to pray for my healing. I always watch your teachings on YouTube, and I learn a lot from them and been reminded of the greatness and holiness of our Lord. I repent and ask God for the forgiveness of my sins, and I thank God for the opportunity to share your teachings on social media that many people will be healed in Jesus' name and for God's glory. Then she came back with another prayer request, and in this one, then we started seeing some other things that really this woman didn't love herself, and so we wrote her that last night that she needed to repent and promise God from this day forward she would love herself. It's a sin if you don't love yourself, and because she's a daughter of the King of the Universe, she's a princess, she's royalty, and she's fearfully, wonderfully made, and she has to love herself. All right. This one is called Psalm 91 Might Put Me Out of a Job. And this is from the nurse out in Washington, I believe. And she said, she just returned from the kids' camp again that she goes to that's for special needs children. And the year before, they didn't get any bug bites. I don't know if y'all remember all that. Okay. Well, this is the second year, and I asked friends and family to pray Psalm 91 daily for us again. And no bug bites for me, my sister, my son who helped this year, and my niece. I heard others talking about their big bites, but we didn't get them. Praise the Lord. I hardly treated anyone, just a few skin knees and splinters. One little girl I asked you to pray for with me last year at the camp, she was covered from head to toe with terrible oozing eczema and psoriasis. I gave her prescription creams 2 and 3 times a day, and I saw her this year, and her skin was beautiful, clear and healthy. I hardly recognized her. I tried to ask her what happened since she was not seeing me for medication this year and what she did to improve her skin. She didn't really have an answer. She was too busy running off to play with her friends. These are 4th to 6th graders. But I'd like to just believe God did it. And thanks for the prayers. And now here's a list of kids that touched my heart or broke my heart and need extra prayer. Perhaps next year all of them will be healed or symptoms improved. Nothing's too hard for the Lord. And she listed Abby, Ethan, Molly, Josh, Levi, Marco, Nathaniel, David, Quinn. Thank you. 10 kids invited Jesus into their hearts, age 4th to 6th grade. Praise the Lord. So she thinks she's going to be out of a job. This was kind of nice. This came through the media. When people order media, they can leave little reports if they want to in the comments, and this young lady did. She said, "Thank you. These teachings have changed my life. My family went to healing school sometime in December of 2015, and I hope to come back. My feet had been cracked for 11 years, the year after my birth, I think. Sometimes they got so bad I could literally pull the skin apart and see how deep the crack was. With some, I could see blood. It never came out, but there was red. We prayed for them for years, and to be honest, it was more of sometimes I remember to pray and sometimes I don't. Maybe my parents prayed. Well, anyway, here I sit, feet completely healed." Praise God. Okay. Jeanette. And we have another testimony.
We'll give it to Jeanette. She may start crying.
Praise the Lord.
Okay, this is hard. I'm
okay.
Let me say it. I've been going here since November 2016. I totally have learned since coming here that God can do anything. I believe since I was a small child in miracles, and even though I was raised in a Baptist church that we went all the time, those words were not spoken. We read the miracles of the Bible. Nobody in my family ever read stories to me about present-day miracles. Somewhere God instilled in me miracles on my own. And what my checkbook has said, I believe in miracles for probably 25 years. I made the bank put it on there. So I came here believing in miracles, but did I walk in miracles? No. Do I know this is a church? Yes. Pastor has prayed for me. One time I had a cold and I was like healed before I walked from the back to the front. But the thing he said to me when he prayed is he said, "You can't doubt." Well, I didn't doubt because it was him. I'm like, I didn't trust me, but I knew he was talking to the dad for me. And so like I was good to go. And one day the praise team prayed for me the same type of thing. I was having allergy problems and they explained it. And like, but Cheryl prayed, "I'm good to go. I know she knows the authority." But I've come several times and asked for them to pray that I know I have a food addiction. I know it's in my family. I mean, I very much know it's in my family, and there's also other addictions in my family. And I know we sort of think that that's acceptable, but God has been making me go deeper and deeper and deeper, and I have not been able to get sight of it. I've gone long lengths of time where I've lost lots of weight and not eaten anything off the program, but I was always like hanging on by my fingertips. Like one wrong thing, and once I take that step, I'm over. Like, I'm not an alcoholic, but I could probably match them with food. And so I have a closet that goes from size 0 up to size 16, and it's been like that. We don't throw them away because someday I'm going to be 0, and then someday I'm going to go back. So I'm telling you, I go up and down 70 pounds, not 20 pounds. I'm telling you, 70 pounds. 2 years ago, I was 70 pounds lighter. And so when I came here, it was like, how can you be here? One month ago today, the week before that, I called Grace and I said, I'm hearing God every day say breakthrough. I can't get it. I can't get it. I read my Bible every day. I study the Word of God. I worship in the morning. I mean, you would laugh, and my neighbors would laugh. They see me in my home. I worship in the morning. And it was like every morning I was hearing this song, breakthrough, breakthrough, breakthrough. And I breakthrough in my heart, breakthrough in my soul. I mean, like I am worshiping breakthrough, but I don't have breakthrough. And it's like I don't know what to do. So I called Grace and I said, please, you prayed for me. Pastors prayed for me. I know the word. You know, I know God can do anything. I don't have breakthrough. And she said, I need you to go listen to a video. I'm shaking. She said, it's called a character bent. There's a trauma somewhere in your soul. There's a trauma. And you haven't dealt with it. And you've got, and this is the same story, Pastor. I think about Pastor Dave when they say it took 20 months. It has to be peeled off layer by layer. You know, you move from precept to precept. And so I started on that Friday. And then that week, I just kept going to the Lord, like, okay, God, show me the trauma. I know my father left when I was 5 years old. I know that, I can't even go into it. I know at the age of 19, my husband beat me up and tried to kill me, but it wasn't the first time he tried to do it. It was just the worst. It was just the worst. And I knew when he stopped was the moment that I thought, it was Christmas Eve. I thought, somebody's going to tell my poor mother who's gone through cancer and divorce, they're going to tell my mother on Christmas Day I'm dead. And at that moment, our God stopped this man from killing me. And I never told a soul for like 25 years what had happened. I was in my 40s before I told somebody how bad the beating was and how bad they were. And so then I went to this room. My husband left in 2000, and I tried to take my own life. And I don't have to go into the story. Gateway has actually recorded it, so it's on their website. But another miracle story where God intervened at 1 o'clock p.m. when I told him I'd be in heaven in 105, God supernaturally intervened and said, I called you, you're mine. I will determine when you live. I will determine when you die, but you belong to me. But I remember that day saying, I'm not strong enough for this earth, God. I know you. Please don't make me walk through this earth. It's too hard. Anyway, he was my grace is sufficient. Now, how can you go through all those and still have a food addiction? I don't know. I don't know. But I started on that week, and it's like, Lord, those are the main traumas. I can't, like, my daughter and I have gone through this great healing since we came here. Like, what's left? And at one moment, in that last week, from the 18th to June the 22nd, a month ago today, in that week, the Lord showed me a friend in the last several years that had really destroyed trust again for me. And trust is so difficult for me. And I have to literally say, I trust you, and that the whole time in the back of my head, I'm waiting for you to reject me. I say, I trust you, but it's like, I know you're going to reject me, but I trust you, but I know. 1 month ago today at 2 o'clock to 4:15, I said, I want breakthrough. I want breakthrough. I want breakthrough. And for 2 hours and 15, and why was it 15 minutes? I had to go pick up grandkids at 4:15. Like, I literally told God, you got to do this by 4:15. I got to walk out the door. I am telling you, I put on praise music, that same breakthrough song. I bet we listened to it. And I mean, I stayed in the presence of God. It's like I pushed in. I wanted mercy. I wanted mercy. And I was not coming out of this room. I was not leaving this room until I got mercy. I wanted mercy. And I wept and I cried and I spoke in tongues and I wept more and I cried until a point that I felt tired. And when I sat down and felt tired, God said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I honestly thought, well, that's good. So you're not going to make this fast, right? You're not like going to take off 70 pounds tomorrow. Like, I'm not going to get one of those things where there's 70 pounds. I'm telling you, a month later, I am not an addict. I'm a normal person. I've never been one in my life. You don't understand. I eat 3 meals a day, have no desire to eat in between. I take grandkids to where, donut stop, McDonald's, ice cream, whatever. I've never lived here. I've never lived here. I have never lived here. Oh, wait, I have to tell the last thing, sorry. We always want medical evidence, don't we, right? Okay, here's your medical evidence, because we always want it. I know the internet wants this, so here it is. On June the 12th, I had to go to the doctor, because they called me and said, 6 years ago, your colon test, we didn't like it. We need you to come back. I said, are you paying for it? He said, yeah, your insurance will pay for it. So I went. They took my blood pressure. It was 133. Now, I need to tell you, the last 4 or 5 years, it's been running 120 to 127. And they said, okay, it's 133. It's a little bit elevated because you're getting ready to do this test, but it's okay. Are you on blood pressure meds? And it's like, no, I'm not on blood pressure meds, but it's like, I can't answer that. That was June the 12th. Last Friday, I went to the dentist. Why they take your blood pressure, I don't know. Took my blood pressure, but I've, since then, God has said walk. So I'm walking 5 out of 7 days, and I'm walking an hour every day. Last Friday, my blood pressure was 105 over 72.
Praise the Lord.
Can't top it, can you?
That was pretty good.
Wow.
Wow, right. Wow.
It's a shame, just like that day whenever Cheryl told me when she was having a problem, she couldn't sing or something. Cheryl said, you need to go pray for her. I just walked back there and laid my hands on her and said, Cheryl said, I'm supposed to pray for you, and I prayed. I said, now then, you can go do whatever you want to do. It's done. All you got to do is believe. Most people don't believe that. It's just like one day when we pray, we should believe that it is automatically done. I mean, you don't go by what you see or smell or feel or hear or nothing else. You go by what's written. If the Word of God is written, it's done, then it's done. And I want to introduce you again to this God, the one that we have no faith in, the one that we don't see do miracles, the ones we don't talk to. When we've done everything and failed everything, we will finally go and ask him, maybe. But I want to introduce you to him one more time. In Ephesians 3:20, I want you to realize this is the God, I don't know about you, but this is the God that I serve.
Amen.
This is the one that made me these awesome promises. So when I pray for you, I can make those stupid statements. Now go do whatever you want to do because you're healed because I prayed for you. I guarantee it's done.
Amen.
Wow. How can I have that kind of faith in my God, Franz? How?
If anybody could see your heart, they'd know why.
Wow.
Like I look at you and it's awesome. And I don't glorify you. I glorify my God.
Amen. He answers prayer, doesn't he? Yes, he answers prayer. I want Cheryl to read to you this God that I hope you serve because I do. This is the one. What's it say, honey?
Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And can I add one more thing here? Not
sure.
A scripture, but he just said that about your heart. What you people don't realize is how many hours he listens to the Word or reads the Word when he was reading. You know, he's in there 8 hours. I don't know anybody that does that almost every single day. Do y'all?
No.
No, and I don't either. But I know what he does, and that's why all that power is there, is because he stays in the Word. He seeks the Lord. He doesn't do anything usually without asking the Lord that, is that what I'm supposed to do? Or he gets a check in his spirit knowing that he's supposed to do that. He's led by the Holy Spirit. And that's why he has that power. And he has, when we lay in bed praying at night, sometimes I'm amazed because sometimes I read the things and I'll go, there's no way. Because who's going to answer that? Oh my goodness, that's really something they're asking, you know. And then he'll pray and take authority and he'll kick all these demons out and cast them against the walls and to the abyss and they're gone. And I'm going, wow, you know, just wow. And the wow is because he's got the Word in his heart and he knows his God.
Is he is my God. Is he your God?
Yes.
If he's your God, he can heal your shoulder, can't he, Tony? If he's your God, what can this God do?
Exceedingly abundantly above all.
Well, now let me tell you. If I got a book that says, I want to tell you who I am. I am your God. And if you'll believe me, you can't think of something big enough that I can't do. There ain't nothing. There ain't nothing you can think of, dream of, whatever, that I can't do exceedingly abundantly beyond that. So whenever Cheryl, just like this one girl the other night, I don't mind telling you once in a while about my faith falters. When she read that to me about that girl, that young girl that's running around with all these men, some of them married, all kinds of crazy things. This boy wrote to us about her sister. He was concerned about his sister. I listened to all the things he said that she's doing. Running around with all these men, sleeping with all these men that are married, don't care about herself, nothing. And when Cheryl read all that, I thought, God, who do they think we are? Why would they even send such a stupid request? Why? I can't believe anybody would do that. And then something hit me right between the eyes. It ain't going to be you that's going to do it. It's going to be me. That's when you got to kick that devil out. Bam. So he's up there saying, who do you think you are? And bam, I know who you are. You're my son, and I'm in you. You just dream up something, and I'll do something so wild you can't even imagine. I said, okay, Father, at Ephesians 3:20, you're still my God. So I'm taking authority over these spirits of hell that's blinding the mind of these men and these married men, these unmarried men, and this girl, this boy's sister. He wants her to be clean and pure and holy. So I kick those devils out in Jesus' name. Lord, you said I have all power and all authority. So I kick them out, and I throw you beast against the wall, bounce you off the wall in the name of Jesus. And I command you, devils of hell, to leave that little girl and leave those men. And Lord, I ask you to send the spirit of love, joy, and peace in that little girl. Bring her into recognition that she's a daughter of the King, and she needs to be clean and pure. Now, Lord, I thank you for doing to send warring angels to do something here. We got angels that's going to do things. So, Lord, I ask you to send those warring angels. I ask you to do mighty miracles. Now, Lord, let's see if I can dream up anything beyond that. For a few minutes, that ought to be okay. The only thing is I want it done right now, Lord, not next month or next week. I want it done now in Jesus' name. And Cheryl's laying over there thinking, what in the world is he doing? But that's what she did. She come back after I prayed and after she thought for a minute about this God that we and her serve. She said, I'm in agreement.
Yeah.
Now, if two of us in agreement, what's going to happen? It's going to happen if you believe it.
Yeah.
That's the whole thing. You got to believe. So why should we even be concerned? If the devil tries to put something up on you, or God says, consider all these various trials and tests pure joy. Because I'm building your faith. I'm training you how to be an overcomer. Well, Lord, bring it on. We're going to be an overcomer. And it doesn't make any difference if it costs me my life. As long, in other words, I can think of men. In fact, I can think of a story that Mike told me when the first time he met Lon Blummer. When he met Lon Blummer, he said something about going to church and whatever. And he asked Lon if he was a Christian. He said he was. He said, where do you go to church? He said, I go to church over the Living Savior. He said, the Living Savior, that's Thurman Scribner's church. He said, do you know Thurman Scribner? He said, boy, did I know Thurman Scribner. He said, I worked with that man. I watched that man pray for people. I saw stories that's beyond your wildest dreams. And Mike had been coming here for a while, and he'd heard me tell these stories, and he got to hear Lon tell them over, just like I told them. Same God, still doing the same thing. He's changing people's lives.
Amen.
All you got to do is believe. Don't doubt. It doesn't make any difference what happens. You know, it don't make no difference. You're only going to be here for a little while. You know, God told you in His Word He's going to give you 70 or 80 years. I know some people say, listening to the deal teachings the other night, somebody said, I found where God's going to give us 130 years. I thought, well, I've read the Bible a lot of times, but I ain't never seen the 130-year deal. It may be in there, but I haven't seen it. But let me tell you, He's going to give you somewhere between where you are right now and where you're going to be when He brings you home. I don't know where that's going to be, but let me tell you what. You want to be ready when that day comes.
Amen.
You don't want to be like that little story I watched the other night. There's a pastor up there talking to the people saying, some people say the rapture is going to take place any time. He said, I don't believe the rapture is going to take place at all. I believe that's just somebody's imagination. That ain't going to happen. Some of the people in the church said, but pastor, it says that He's going to come again. He said, yeah, but I don't believe all that. And all of a sudden there was a boom. And about 90% of the people in that church was gone. That guy looked around and somebody said, it just happened. All those people that left, it just happened. In an instant, in a heartbeat, in a twinkle of an eye, they were gone. This pastor fell on his face with his hands up and said, God, be merciful. Give me another chance. But guess what? He didn't get another chance. Let me tell you what. I don't know when the rapture is going to happen, but it's written in that book. And at least two places where it says in 1 Corinthians 15 and 1 Thessalonians 4 that the Lord is coming again. He's coming with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and a trumpet in God. And the dead in Christ are going to rise first, and then He's going to catch us out of here, and we're going to be gone in one heartbeat. That day is coming.
Amen.
You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to be excited about it. He's coming. I don't know how He's going to do it. I don't care how He does it. I just know I'm going to be, me and Cheryl and Lily are going to be on the first load.
Riding on the horse.
We're going to be on the first load. I'm going to be up there. When we come back, I'm going to be running right alongside Vanessa. Vanessa, as she's riding her stallions, four of them strong. I can see her now. Feet on the shoulders of them horses. The way she loves to ride horses. Can't you just see her riding through the sky on those horses? Isn't that something? What can He do? You can think of the wildest numbers. I'm trying now. Some of the things that I try to dream up now, when somebody used to, when somebody would call, and they'd have these wild stories about, well, my brother done this, or my sister done this, or, you know, or whatever. And, you know, if you serve such a great big God, why don't you do something? Why don't you pray and see God do something? Why don't you just pray? I'll tell you what. I have prayed for a lot of people, and I have seen the Master do some awesome things. When's the last time you've seen Him answer a prayer? He answers my prayers. He answers Cheryl's prayers. Does He answer your prayers? When you pray, you should expect to have a testimony. You know, it should come down to the point that every time you pray, in fact, this is the way Cheryl and I close nearly every prayer request on the internet. After we pray and tell the Lord exactly what we want for this people, We've never seen these people. We don't have any idea who they are, where they're living or nothing. Sometimes after we pray for them for 5 or 10 times, if we don't know them and there's no change, we start calling back and saying, you know, well, who is so-and-so? What are y'all doing? You called us and asked us to pray 20 times so far now, and you're still calling back. There's something wrong. Our prayer don't take that long to get answered. You know, the people put us on your prayer list. I said, I don't have a prayer list. I pray for you one time and we push you out the window. You know, you're done, you know. Your prayer is answered. I'm not going to put you on a prayer list like, a prayer list, if I put you on a list, that means I didn't expect you to be prayed for yesterday and get an answer yesterday. I'm not that guy. Don't get me wrong. I believe God can answer prayer right now. I mean, when I prayed for Johnny Brumfield down there, that guy down there in New Orleans, when I prayed for Johnny Brumfield, I mean, for 21 months, he had not walked a lick. He's down. After I prayed for him and asked the Lord to do a creative miracle on him and raise him up, I said, now then, give me your hand and stand up. He looked up at me because he was a Southern Baptist. And I grabbed his hand and I jerked him up and he stood up. And when he stood up, I said, now then, walk. He's looking around, my God, I'm standing up. What is the biggest problem in the church?
Unbelief.
Unbelief, lack of faith. So I grabbed him by the hand, I jerked him again. I said, Johnny, come on, take a step. So he did. And another... What is that?
Airplane.
I'm at an airplane? I thought that was a storm, like it was going to rain or something. Well, by the way, while I'm thinking about that, Lord, maybe you did that to remind me. We prayed last week for 4 inches of rain. We didn't get any. Now, I realize some places around did get a lot of rain, but we didn't get it. So, Lord, we still need, over the whole Metroplex area, most of the Metroplex, at least the part where we're at, we still need 4 inches of rain. We need a good 4 inches of rain, Lord. This week will be fine, but we need some rain. So the Lord said, if two of us on earth agree about anything, he'll do it. So how many of you are in agreement with me? We're going to get some rain, 4 inches or more this week in Jesus' name. You think he could do 4 inches of rain? He could do 4 inches of rain in a heartbeat. We don't need it in a heartbeat, but we'd like to have it in several heartbeats. We'd like for it to rain nice and be, you know, so cool things off. But, Lord, this God that we serve, I don't have a prayer list. I had one of those when I was in the Baptist church. When I was in the Baptist church, we had a prayer list. And we had the same prayer list every week. And some people were on it 2 or 3 or 4 weeks in a row. Same ones. In fact, that story a while ago Cheryl read to you about the guy with the, what do you call it, kidney stone, yeah. I remember one night I went to prayer meeting. We had an actual night called Wednesday night, we called it prayer meeting. Did very little praying, but it was called prayer meeting night. Well, I used to go, you know, and I would have a little 10, 15 minutes something, and sometimes one of the deacons would give a little 5-minute speech, and then we'd pray for some people a little bit, and then we'd go home. Well, I went to this prayer meeting at the Baptist church up here in Justin. When we were going around one of the, I think it was a pastor. He said, you know, he called this boy's name. And he said, his wife called in tonight and said, Daryl has got a kidney stone and he's really in pain. So he said, we want to definitely remember to pray for Daryl tonight during prayer meeting. I thought, okay, now I've got something to work on. So anyway, when it come time to pray, I stood up and I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, you said in your word that if two of us on earth agreed about anything in Matthew 18, 19, you would do it. Is that what he said? So I said, Father, I need somebody in here to agree with me tonight that you will take that kidney stone tonight. Daryl's in really pain. I'm asking you to take that kidney stone away tonight and cleanse his body and make him comfortable where he can sleep and everything's okay. In Jesus' name. I said, thank you, Lord. It's done. Probably 25 people in that prayer meeting that night. They go around and pray, and there was one retired pastor there besides a few other, several other people. I was the first one to pray, and as we go through the list, everybody prayed that night about something. But not one single person mentioned my prayer about the prayer of agreement. We're down to the last man, and it was that retired pastor. And you talk about God, go to the last one, nobody's mentioned it, and all of a sudden he says, well, everybody's afraid now but me. So he said, Father, in Jesus' name, I'm going to be in agreement with Thurman's prayer. I thought, it's done. I knew God was going to do something great. I just knew he was. I just thought to myself, yes, you know, it's done. I prayed, I agreed, I used the word of God. This pastor, he prayed. I said, it's done. So anyway, whenever we started to leave, Daryl's wife was there, and I said, go home and tell Daryl that he's going to pass that kidney stone tonight. She said, but Thurman, maybe it's not God's will. I said, hey, wait a minute. God said in his word that if two of us on earth agree, did he not?
Yes, he did.
Well, she said, yeah, but you know, you can't never tell what God will do. I said, he'll do exactly what we believe him for. So anyway, she said, boy, I just never seen anybody has the kind of faith that you have. She said, when you pray, you believe he's going to do it. What did Ephesians 3:20 say?
I can do
what?
Exceedingly abundantly.
I mean, so what more than that do I need? If that's the only verse in the whole cotton picking Bible, what more do I need? Is that right, friends?
Right.
I mean, we only need one promise. We don't need 5,000 from God. We just need one. And believe it. So anyway, we walk out. The meeting was over. And I go home. Betty, my wife at that time, she had something to stay over for. She had to do something with getting a wedding ready or something, so she didn't come home with me. I come home by myself. I got home, and Cindy didn't know that Betty had stayed up there, so she needed to talk to her. So I had just barely got home, and my phone rang, and she says, Thurman, I need to talk to Betty. I said, well, she's still up at the church. Oh, she said, I thought she'd come home. I said, no, she's here. I said, did you tell Daryl to try to pass that kidney stone? She said, well, no, I haven't yet, but said, I will as soon as I get home. So anyway, I said, well, don't you dare forget it, because I said, when you tell him, I said, he's going to pass that kidney stone. I guarantee it. She said, I just can't believe you can believe like you believe. I mean, I can do what? I can do
exceedingly.
Do I have that written down in God's word somewhere, friends?
Sure do.
So do you think I could take it to the bank?
Many times over.
You can get a cotton-picking Bible.
So anyways, she called back in a minute. A few minutes after Betty had gotten home, just got home, and Cindy called and said, Is Betty get home yet? And I said, well, yeah, she just drove in the driveway. I said, did you tell Daryl yet? And she said, well, yeah, I'm going to. She said, just a minute. I said, tell him right now. I want to see this kidney stone go away. She said, Daryl, Thurman says that he prayed and somebody else agreed with him in prayer tonight, and that kidney stone, you're going to pass that kidney stone tonight, so you need to get your can and go, your filtered can, and you need to go in there in the bathroom and pass that stone. I said, now tell him to do it right now, and I guarantee you that thing's coming out with no pain in Jesus' name. Everybody thinks you've lost your mind. I mean, don't they?
Yes, sir.
But you got to pray in faith. So he said, okay, so just to tell him I'll go get to the bathroom. So he went in there, got the bucket, went in the bathroom, and just in a couple of minutes he's screaming back, honey, tell Thurman, thank you, thank you, thank you. The kidney stone just came right out. I told him, I said, don't thank me. I didn't do nothing but pray. I said, all I did was pray. I said, all you had to do is believe. Isn't that amazing that we have this God with all these awesome promises? And when something don't go just exactly right in this thing that we're living in, so many people, even people in the church, they forget to have that Ephesians 3:20 God. They forget. It don't take but a few minutes to forget that he's God. I mean, you're just living back over here in the old land of unbelief. Nothing good happens in unbelief. In fact, when I had that hernia surgery, that guy told me, I told him, I said, my faith ran out before the pain did. I said, I know if I could have stood the pain. I don't know at what level that God would have made that pain go away, but just like he did that first night. That first night, I mean, I'm laying there with that pain pushing on my groin area right here in my stomach, and all of a sudden the pain went away. When the pain went away, oh, when the pain goes away and quits hurting, it feels so good. Y'all know where I'm coming from? Feels so good. But then in a few hours, it came back. This time, first time I think was 8 hours, wasn't it? Yeah. When it came back, I fought it another 18 hours. Somebody said, you know, what difference does it make? I'm trying my best to walk by faith. I want Jesus to be glorified. I fought that battle. Finally lost it. Finally said, that's it. Can't handle it no more. I've lost it. And so even with all the miracles I've seen God do, he's bringing me to that new level. But I couldn't make it. I'm sorry, Lord, that I wasn't tough enough. I didn't make it. But still, Lord, that doesn't change your love for me or your nothing. You are doing more and greater miracles for me and Cheryl every night. When I take authority laying there, like Cheryl said, whenever I come to life laying there in the bed and start kicking out devils, some people, if they were in our bedroom and you were to hear what I say, you would think you lost his ever-loving mind. I talk to demons like they're real.
They are real.
I talk to demons like I have authority over them in the name of Jesus. That they have to obey me.
Yes, they do.
And they do. And we get to see sometimes within hours, we get these tremendous praise reports back. Wow. I mean, we got a praise report here a while back. Somebody, their grandmother or whatever, had a stroke or whatever. And when we said we need the name and everything so we can pray, and the person thought, well, it really won't do make any difference about having the name. You know, they didn't really understand the throne room of God, and how when we go into the throne room of God, we bring that person and present that person to a case, a legal case, where there's a God, the judge, is on the throne. Jesus Christ, the attorney, and Satan is all here fighting a battle for your soul or for your flesh. And people don't understand that battle's going on. But I understand that battle's going on. And I understand if I do everything right and call the people's right name and everything, present them to the throne of grace, I'm going to get results, and Jesus is going to win the case. And he's supposedly wanting to win every case. He don't want you to lose not one single case. So anyway, isn't it amazing? Just like at that Baptist church that night when I had to stand in faith. Daryl had to do everything. I'm over there saying, tell him to go to the bathroom and pass that kidney stone. He's going to pass that kidney stone. So he goes over there and tries it, and sure enough, he does. He passes it right through there, and he said that kidney stone came right out with no pain. Amen. Now then, what did I ask for?
No pain.
No pain. Do you think God, this Ephesians 3:20, God can do that?
Yes. Amen.
You think he can do that without any problem?
Yes.
So why don't we do something with him? Why don't we believe him? What is wrong with us? I mean, if you can only believe, what should be impossible with us? Just like that night, that afternoon, when I told that young lady, I'm going to pray for you. Now all you got to do is believe. It's done. And she started to leave the back where I prayed for her. And before she got up here to where she was going to play that instrument, she knew she was completely healed.
Amen.
Isn't that something? All it took was one prayer of faith from one person. Just one. My goodness, just think what we could do if three or four of us believed. Wow. I mean, what is that scripture that says, one shall put 1,000 to flight, two shall put 10,000 to flight? I wonder how many three could put to flight. What about 100? What about 50 of us? If we're in here and we're praying for somebody, if one of us can put 1,000 to flight, what do you think would happen if 10 of us done something? In fact, I tell you, I haven't talked to nobody, didn't tell nobody about this. This just hit me. I want the first five men that literally believes that God can answer prayer. I want five of you men to stand up. Five men that believe that God. Okay, that's good. Now then, all right, stay standing right there where you are. Bill has got a request for prayer that he don't even know about. That he went to the doctor this week and they said he's got some kind of cancer on his back. Bill, come up here. Come up here. I'm going to touch you in the name of Jesus. Now, did Jesus tell us to... Now, all you guys that are standing, stay standing. Did Jesus tell us to go out and heal the sick, Bill?
He did.
If Jesus tells us to go out and heal the sick, he says we remit his sins. He's remitted his own sins. We remit his sins. We stand in there. And now then, once we remit sins, all these spirits of curse that's come up on his back, on his body, have no more legal right to Bill Wagner, and they have got to go and go away and never come back. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you and praise you for completely delivering Bill, completely making him whole. Then he told us to lay our hands on him, and he'll heal him. So I've laid my hands on Bill, and he's completely healed. Now, every one of you men that's standing, I only want you to just come around the stride, come by Bill, put both hands on his shoulder and say, be healed in Jesus' name. And then you go back and sit down at your seat, and I guarantee you he's going to heal you, Bill.
Praise God.
Be healed
in Jesus' name.
Amen. Come on up here. You know, lay your hands on him. Say, be healed
in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Be healed in Jesus' name, Bill.
Amen. That's a double whammy right there.
Be healed in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Be healed in Jesus' name.
All right. Praise God.
Be healed in Jesus' name.
Praise the Lord. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
In the name of Jesus, I guarantee you, Brother Bill, you are healed.
Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. I accept that.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
I believe that. I know that.
All right. Praise the Lord. One more. Praise. Okay, now then the Lord said in his word, if just two of us on earth agree about anything, it's done. It's done. So I probably had 40 or 50 men come by and lay hands on you. It's done, isn't it, Bill?
It is finished.
It is finished. It's done.
Praise God.
Guaranteed. Now then, you can go sit down and praise the Lord.
I've got to have one little short prayer for the men that prayed for me. Father, you say when one or more are gathered together that we can ask you anything and you'll do it. Lord, today it was overabundance. I can't thank you enough, Father God, and I can't thank these men enough either because, Lord, they gave of their hearts today and they wanted to see this take place. And I believe it, I know it, and I stand on it. It's done, and I appreciate it. Thank you, Thurman Scribner.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Do you have any idea, say, if we would do things like God told us, when God tells us to pray for everything with thanksgiving for everybody, you have any idea of the men and women in the church that if they would just obey God, do what he says, this Ephesians 3:20 God, he's available to us 24/7. He's our God. He's our master. He wants to do everything. If we would only believe with no doubt in our heart, there is no telling what we could see him do. I mean, he can do exceedingly abundantly. I mean, it's so amazing that we serve this awesome God with all these written promises in his word. I mean, promises all over the place. Like I said, we only need one or two. Really, I guess one would be enough. You know, but he put them all over the place, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
They ain't just one or two places. They're everywhere. Are we all healed?
Yes.
Every one of us are healed now in the name of Jesus. I thank you and praise you, Lord, for complete healing of Brother Bill. He is healed. I am healed. And I don't know what God's doing here, but he's doing it. And so he's still healing. I stand in awe. And of course, I think about Smith Wigglesworth pretty regular, about how his son-in-law says that after Smith went through the kidney stones for 5 years, he had 5 years worth of kidney stones. He said after he had those 5 years worth of kidney stones, he said he could pray for anything and God would do it. And one of the stories his son-in-law told about Smith, he started to London to go see somebody and it was on a train. There's a woman and her son on the train. And he asked her where she was going. She said she's going to London for surgery. He said, for surgery? He said, what's wrong with you? She said, I have gangrene in my leg. They're going to have to amputate my leg. He said, "Are you a Christian woman?" She said, "Yes." He said, "Well, why don't you let God heal it for you?" She said, "Well, I don't know." He said, "Don't you believe God can do anything he promised in his word?" She said, "Well, yes." He said, "Well, then, my God, woman, all you need is to let me pray." She said, "Have you prayed for people before that needed healing and they got healed?" He said, "He never has let me down. I guarantee if you let me pray, he'll heal your leg." I thought, that guy must be studying the same book I'm reading. "I guarantee he'll heal you, woman." So Smith Wigglesworth goes over and sits down at the edge of the bench where that woman's sitting down, puts his hands on her leg, and starts running that hand down her leg and say, "Heal, Father, in Jesus' name." And when he moved his hand, the leg was perfect. Is that the Ephesians 3:20 God that we serve?
Amen.
He's there and ready and willing to help every one of us do the same thing. All we got to do is do something in faith. And it's done. Isn't that amazing? How many times and things, Tony, back before you had any idea that you were serving this God, you didn't even know who he was. But once you got a hold of it,
never let it go.
And he never going to let it go.
Right.
Yeah. Now, Tony, fine young man like this, messes up his shoulder. The doctor says you got to have surgery. He said, "I'm just going to pray over it, and we're going to let God heal it." And he prayed, and guess what God did?
Healed it.
He healed it completely, didn't he, Tony?
Right.
No problem with the arm.
Right.
Isn't it amazing that we have these promises? These promises. How many of these promises are yes, and how many are no?
All of them are yes.
All of them are yes. So then we really can't go wrong, can we?
No, you cannot go wrong.
Wow. So Bill's healed today, right?
Yes.
I'm healed today.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. Ain't nothing. I'm healed. Praise God. I'm healed and it's done. Praise God. Wow. This awesome, awesome God. And if we only believe, Lord, we want to thank you for sending the rain. We know that you will send the rain because when the prophet prayed, it quit raining for, 3.5 years or something like that. And then the Lord, he prayed again and it rained and everything came forth. But we need good rain, Lord. You said in your word that we can remit each other's sins. So, Lord, we forgive each other's sins, and we thank you for forgiving us for our shortfalls, our shortcomings. And then we thank you for bringing forth the rain so we'll have a beautiful 4 inches. Would 4, 5, or 6 inches be okay?
Yes.
It wouldn't be no big deal, would it? Lord, we thank you for the rain. We thank you, Lord, for letting the rain come. In Jesus' name, we're so grateful for the rain. Lord, we just thank you for the rain. Praise the Lord. Just thank you. If we only believed. Did you know if you only believe, when you start praying about everything with thanksgiving, like he said, you're going to see God do things beyond your wildest dreams. Why don't we believe? What is wrong with us? When you got this awesome, awesome God, why in the world don't we use this God? Wow. You know that place we was talking about there a while ago? that place where Lon Plummer worked. I remember one time I walked into that building where he works. 1,000 people work in that building. I walked in the front door. I'm walking along there in the hallway, and there's a lady over there. She said, "Mr. Scribner, can I talk to you a moment?" I said, "Yes, ma'am." So she walked over and she says, "They tell me that when you pray for people, miracles happen." I said, "Yes, ma'am, I serve a God. His name is Jesus Christ. He does answer prayer." She said, "I have cancer. I've been diagnosed with cancer." I said, "You want to be healed?" She said, "Of course." I said, "Kneel right here." I'm right in the middle of an aisleway going back to the back. People everywhere. She knelt on the floor. I put my hands on her head and I said, "Now then, you devils of hell, I remit her sin. I command you devils of hell to come out of her and don't you ever enter this woman again. Now, Father, I thank you for sending the Holy Spirit and healing this woman from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet." I said, "Thank you, Lord, it's done." I said, "Woman, give me your hand." I jerked her up and I said, "You're healed. You can go have a doctor check you and I guarantee there's no cancer left." A couple of days later, that woman came to my office. She said, "Mr. Scribner, yesterday was my day off. I went to the doctor and there's no cancer in my body." Do you serve that God?
Yes.
His name is Jesus Christ, isn't it? Does he answer prayer?
Yes.
Wow. He's looking for somebody that'll believe him, isn't he, Mike? That's all he's waiting on, is somebody to believe. Somebody to believe. Now, of all you men that prayed a while ago, I want to tell you, thank you. From the bottom of my heart, that you have enough faith to come forward to believe that your God can heal Bill Wagner. And we all believe, don't we, Bill? It's a done deal. Bill is healed. And he's forgiven. He's washed in the blood. Everything. We can do all things because we're sons of God. I know the world. In the last 2 or 3 weeks, I've had quite a bit of problem with some of the men that have called in that just can't go there believing that they're as righteous as God is. You have had some of those too, haven't you, Baron? You can't tell me that boy right there can ever be made as righteous as Jesus.
Amen.
Yes, he can. When he believes it, it's done. It is done. But the world has a problem with that, Baron. You know that?
That ain't my problem.
That ain't your problem. That's right. That's for sure. That's not your problem. Praise God, that's not your problem. When we pray in faith. Now, when Jesus, think about this. In fact, I want Cheryl to turn to John 14:12. John 14:12, one of my favorite verses. You know, when you impregnate this kind of teaching into your body night and day, sooner or later you come to a point when you start believing this crazy stuff. I mean, the devil, he just can't blind your eyes enough when you read scriptures like John 14:12.
Verily, verily, I say unto you,
no, first of all, who's talking?
Jesus.
Jesus is talking. Okay, read on.
Verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father.
Now, if you got a God that can make you a statement like that, and you really believe he's big enough to do what he said, what are you going to be afraid to do? Nothing. There ain't nothing we're afraid to do. Bring them on. I mean, whenever people talk about demons or whatever, It don't make any difference to me if the demon's 40 foot tall or 500 foot tall. In Jesus' name, me and Jesus is bigger than he is. I'm not afraid of the devil. Not afraid of him at all, because I know who my brother is. I know Jesus cast out demons and he healed the sick. Did he not? Cast out demons and heal the sick. Wow. And then it's like he's demanding in the next two verses there for that Cheryl's, John 14, 13 and 14. Read those two verses. John 14, 13 and 14.
Next verse. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it.
You know, it almost sounds like he's begging us to pray.
Yeah.
And then we've got people out there that are sick, and you go to a doctor, and the doctors can't do nothing. And so we just say, okay, that's it. We put you on the prayer list. It's over. Why? Don't put nobody on the prayer list. Just ask them what they want to be prayed for, like Cheryl and I do, and then we write back and tell them what we prayed. And remember, the first thing you want to do, you want to see lots of results to your prayer. First thing you want to do, you want to learn Scripture, like John 20, 23. You want to learn that Scripture so you know you can remit or forgive sin.
Amen.
Now, if you can forgive sin, if Jesus could forgive sin, and he said you can do greater things than he did, can you forgive sin?
Yeah.
Sure you can. Now, the world won't believe that. Lots of people. I had a pastor the other day that went somewhere and talked to another pastor, and he come back and told me, he said, Thurman, you've misunderstood that Scripture. We cannot forgive sin. I said, well, all I know is it says we can. And I have no idea how many people I've used that on. I don't know how many, but I've used it on a bunch. How many of y'all in here have used John 20, 23 and seen results?
Amen.
Some of you have too. Amen. But if I got a God, you had a question?
No, I said, because we believe.
Yeah, that's right, because we believe. But the first thing you want to do is learn Scriptures like John 20, 23, and you want to remit that person's sin. As soon as you remit their sin, you've taken away the devil's legal right. So the first thing you want to do next is grab that devil by the nape of the neck and command him to come out of that person and go to the abyss and never come back. Get him out of their life. Get them away from what's going on. And so you can go ahead and do something else. After you get the devil kicked out, get them clean and pure, then ask the Lord to send the precious Holy Spirit. Now, if you can't get to a place where you can lay hands on them, God says go out and heal the sick.
Right.
When he says go heal the sick, to heal the sick, you lay your hands on somebody and just say be healed. And that heals the sick.
Amen.
That's all he asks you to do, heal the sick. So when you do that, if you're not where you can do that, you pray that prayer and kick out that devil. You remit their sins, kick out the devil, and then you pray the prayer of faith for healing. Ask the Lord to send the precious Holy Spirit to heal that person from the top of their head to the bottom of their feet. And after you do that, then you can say, now then, I declare you are healed from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. Now then, according to Matthew 18, 19, two of us on this earth, Cheryl and I, agree that you are healed, so when we guarantee you are healed in Jesus' name. And it's getting to where sometimes it's only like that one deal, only hours later that we get a result back. My goodness, I'm completely healed from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. I mean, what does that do to you? Boy, this is what it ought to do. Bring me on one, Lord. I'm ready. Pray me, Lord, with me and you. Wake up in the morning and say, Lord, there ain't nothing me and you can't do today. What do you want to do, Lord? Is there anything we can, is anything can prevent us from doing things for God?
Nothing.
Nothing. I mean, it makes life fun. I just stand in awe of the privilege to be able to lay in bed and pray and kick out devils and get praise reports like this right to come in right back. Isn't that amazing? Do you know this God? Do you know this God? Raphael, do you know this God? You know him. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. We all know him, right? So should we be ashamed to pray?
No, never.
We should stand on his word anywhere and everywhere. And I'm going to tell you, the bigger fool you make out of yourself out there in the world, the bigger will be the miracles. He'll do that for you. I've seen him do that. I've done stepped off on the wild side and said things and guaranteed people, like that girl down there at that time that burned her arm so bad in that oven. I guarantee that my God would do a great and mighty work in her life. And by the next morning, there was not even a burn marker or scar on that girl's arm. I mean, you talk about seeing a miracle. In fact, one of the little girls that worked back there in Hot Foods, when she saw that miracle the next morning, when that woman came in and held her arms up, when she said, "Edelina, how's your arm?" She held her arms up like this, and she says, "Look, no, it's completely healed overnight. I guess it was because of the cool air last night. It healed so quick." Can you believe that? That people can, oh my Lord, that was, but anyway, this little cook that was in there, she saw that, she run up there and looked at that arm and there wasn't a mark on it nowhere. She said, "That's it. That done it for me. I'm going to quit doing what I'm doing and I'm going to go to Dallas and I'm going to sign up at one of the Bible schools and I'm going to learn more about this wonderful, awesome God that Thurman talks about." Totally changed her life forever. When's the last time you saw a miracle like that somewhere? Do you see that very often? We should. You know, we should see miracles all the time. Shouldn't we? I mean, the problem ain't never with God. The problem with us, he can't get us to be in agreement with him. But if we can get in agreement with him, boy, there ain't nothing hard for God. Wow. Praise the Lord. Make sure you remit the sins of the person. Make sure you kick out the demons and lay hands on them for healing. And if you're out on the sidewalk somewhere, you can do that real quick. Just command those spirits to leave, remit the people's sins, kick out those devils, and go from there. And see Jesus do some healings like you've never seen before in your life. He'll do it. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Father, I want to thank you that you're the God that's beyond our wildest dreams. I want to thank you for healing my brother, Bill Wagner. I thank you, Lord, that boy is going to be able to do great things for your kingdom. He's already done some wonderful things, and Lord, we're so grateful for all these cards. Him and Betty have traveled around all over this country and passed out these cards. We thank you, Lord, that you use each one of us in a mighty way to bring glory and honor to your name. And Lord, thank you for healing all of us. Thank you for doing wonderful things that only you can do. We just give you praise and glory that you are the Ephesians 3:20 God. Now, Lord, just help us to hide the word in our heart so we'll grow bigger and bigger in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.